I've been speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. There's been quite some break. I'll continue now. Often, after I've spoken about a name, some other points come up about it in my mind. So I'll just backtrack a bit first. Ameyatma, a form, this means an atma that is not measurable. The name of Vishnu. So, the impersonalists, they reason that a form is measurable, the Absolute is immeasurable, so logically, the Absolute is formless. Untrue. Do you happen to know which was the last one I did of Vishnu Sahasrana? No, I think I'm on the right one. Anyway, if I go over it again, no harm. Krishna is immeasurable. Examples of that. He appears as a young boy, Balagopal, in Vrindavan. But when Mother Yashoda looks in his mouth to look for dirt, she sees the whole universe in his mouth. So that doesn't fit into the laws of physics. And what's more, Krishna himself is within his mouth because he's in the universe. So the huge expanse of the universe is within his mouth. And he himself, which means he's so big and he's so small because he's just a little boy inside the mouth. So, go work it out, Mr. Einstein. Go make some calculations. You can't find Krishna by calculations. There's supposed to be, what is that, Gödel's theory by which the existence of God is proved by mathematics. Let them if they like. They can do. That's the proper use of mathematics. Or any, let them try like that. What is that verse that how does that verse begin? Bhaktivedanta Institute, the motto Prabhupada gave? Shrutasyava, Srishtasya Sutta, Shabuddhita, Avicharta, Harto, Kavibhiyane, Rupita. Ya Uttama Shloka Gunanavananam. I'm just not remembering the beginning. So all science and arts and research, everything that should be for the purpose of glorifying Uttama Shloka. Austerities, all these things, all learning. So let it be. But there's also the consideration that, as Lord Brahma says, that jananta eva janantu kim bhahukta name prabho manaso vachaso vacho vaibhava tava gochara. He says that others may say, let them say, that I understand Krishna. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think I can understand anything about him whatsoever, by any endeavor whatsoever. So, Ameyatma. One point about the last four names. That they are these different expansions are worshipped in different including the name I'll just come up with now, 183, Maheshvasa. Maheshvasas, they're worshipped in different varshas of the universe. Maheshvasa in Kim Purush Varsha. Srinivas No, it means the next four names. Srinivas in Ketumala, Varsha, Satam Gati. By devotees throughout the universe. There are only three names there. Oh, and the remaining names describe him as he appears in Shvetadvip. So name 183 is Maheshvasa. Mahan is here. Obviously that means great, but it's can also mean Manohari. Enchanting. Literally taking away the mind. Ishunam means arrows, and asaha means discharger. So one who discharges great arrows or very enchanting arrows. So Krishna is known as, one of his names is Shangadhar. His bow is called Sharanga. And he's particularly well known as Rama when it comes to the matter of bows and arrows, then Kodandarama is now the holder of the bow. That's a name for the bow. So he who holds the bow, and just hearing about his exploits, the devotees, they become enchanted. Manohari, just listening, how his bows, with his bow and his arrow, just like when that force was there. What is that? Oh, I have spoken about this. The Dushana and the others that were there. Then Lakshman said, I'll go and kill them. And Ram said, no, I'll kill them. You just stay back. Someone has to look after Sita. You look after her. And I'll kill. So single-handedly he killed all the Rakshasas. That was the first major feat. I mean, before that he had killed that Tartaka, that female and demon and Rakshasi, and sent Maricha to the other side of the world by his arrow. But this was the first time his power was shown in killing literally millions just by himself. And what to speak of him, even those he empowers, just like with Arjuna and Drona, it's described that their arrows, they're discharged them so fast that one would be, and right behind it would be the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So it's like a line. And Arjuna would cover the sky with arrows, so that everything would become dark. And it's just amazing things by the mercy of Krishna. People don't believe these things, but anyway, we don't care. They don't believe, up to them. Oh, why? Because already one name is there, name 77 in Vishnu Sahasranama. I've discussed these already, these points. Dhanvi, which means who carries the bow, dhanu. Dhanus means bow. So Dhanvi, that name is already there. The discharger of great arrows, also, all the time, but in killing Rama, Rama killing Ravana. One point about Rama, his arrows, they don't miss. They always get their target. And his killing is for the good of the world. Nowadays, all over the world, there's so much killing going on, but no one's benefited by it in any way whatsoever. Well, people think that just like some... Now, in Kashmir, fighting is flaring up again, so the Pakistanis, they may think they've benefited by killing some Indian soldiers and vice versa, but ultimately there's no benefit to anyone. But with Rama, his killing, it benefits those who are killed, and it's not that after he leaves everything's a complete chaos. Just like after killing all the, not all, but many of the Rakshasas, then Lanka could have been kept in chaos, but Rama arranged that Vibhishana would take the throne. He didn't just leave devastation. So he did even materially, he saw to the good of everyone. Now, enchanting arrows. There's another famous holder of a bow. His name is Kamadeva. And that's by the arrows he discharges, it's very enchanting arrows. But they're more dangerous than the arrows made out of steel, because they pierce our consciousness, and they're like arrows with mantras. So that if they hit you, they have a mystical effect, that our natural love for Krishna becomes distorted into attraction to that which we should not be attracted to, which again does us no benefit whatsoever. Kamadeva is active not only in human society, but in all the species, so that the male pig is thinking that the female is just can't get her out of his mind, while he's eating his stool and just thinking, oh, that beautiful Miss Pig, I can't live without her. So this is the power of Kamadeva. Krishna is Aprakrita Madan. He is the transcendental Cupid. And the bow is his eyebrows, and the arrows are his glances. And it's very dangerous for the young girls of Vrajabhumi, because it spoils all their chastity. But in another sense we can understand that, or in the real sense we can understand that Krishna is definitely the most powerful. Because if we consider the position of the gopis, that they are far, far above any yogis. Yogis are trying hard to control their senses, to become detached from this world, to become attached from the attraction of Cupid. But the gopis, they're far, far, far above any such level. When we, just like in the first, with chapters 2 to 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, there's all this talk about karma, jnana, and yoga. And then Krishna says, actually, the best yogi is a devotee. And then he just starts talking about bhakti. So, the discussion of bhakti, when one is finished with all desires for karma, jnana, and yoga, then one comes to bhakti. In jnana and yoga, one's trying to understand what is this material world, what is lust we have to get freed from. But the position of the Vraja Gopis is far, far beyond that. Ah, what is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings? Paramachanchala Shati. What's the first line of that? Braja Gopir Dhan Paramachanchala Sati Jogira Dhyan Nirvishesha Gyan Ekane Napai Stiti. What's the first? Swarasaki Siddhi Braja Gopir Dhan Paramachanchala Sati Jogira Dhyan Nirvishesha Gyan Ekane Napai Stiti. The gopis, their situation in their own relationship of love for Krishna, Swarasaki Siddhi. That is their great wealth. And that is paradoxically both chanchala means not fixed, moving here and there, and sati, which means fixed in chastity. So these topics, if you think about the meditation of the yogis and the cultivation of knowledge with the aim of becoming absorbed in the impersonal Brahman, there's no place for this. What it's far, 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 far behind. From Golok, there's Vrajadham, Mathura, Dwaraka, below that is Vaikuntha. Long, long, long way. Yes, the impersonal Brahman is long, long way. It can't enter that. So, ordinary lust, that has no entrance into Krishna's pastimes. It's just like we feel no attraction, the pig feels attraction to the female pig. We don't feel any attraction. So something like that, we can give that crude example. That in the activities of Krishna and the gopis and Krishna and the queens of Dwaraka, there's no question. It's just on such a superior level. There's no question of any mundane attraction. This mundane people cannot understand how in India for generations Krishna has been worshipped. They think he's just some kind of low-class debauchee. But no, the people of India are not so foolish that they'll worship. There are plenty of debauchees in the world. But Krishna, he is in an absolutely separate category. That's why we worship him. That is actual love. Okay, so the next name 184, Mahibharata. This name, one name has already come before this, Bharata, which means husband, protector, one who supports, one who holds up. So Krishna, he's the maintainer, the protector, the supporter of everything. But particularly the name is given here, Mahibharata. Mahi means the earth. So he is the bearer, the maintainer, the protector of the earth as Kurma Dev, Adi Kurma. And also, of course, there's Varahadev, and he's literally the husband of the earth. The earth is Bhumi. So one of Narayana's main shaktis, he has so many shaktis, Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate. So the most famous is the Shri Shakti. And number two is Bhu Shakti. That's completely spiritual, but she manifests in this world as the earth. The earth, of course, is only one of many planets, but the earth is special to Krishna. because particularly his dhams are manifested on in all the universe. His dhams are manifested, which means he's there eternally, and he comes, manifests his pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, Ayodhya, Dwaraka. So particularly this earth planet is very special within the whole universe. And Krishna, as Varaha, he is the husband and maintainer and protector. He protected the earth by when she fell into the Garbhodak. He lifted her up, and he's known as the husband. And the son was produced, was a demon, Narakasura. So that he's maintaining the earth, that is the understanding. The earth is held up by Kurama, and then there are the different Digpals in the different directions. They all hold up the earth. That's Indra, Yama, Kuvera, Niriti, and others. They all have elephants who hold up the earth. The modern theory is there's gravity. But there may be some so-called scientific explanation, but we know that actually Krishna is holding up the earth. Mahibharata can also mean a king, because a king, he oversees a certain area of the earth. He has some area of... some king means king of a particular tract of land. So there are Mahibharata or Bhupal, such names are there, maintainer of the earth, names for kings. Name 185 is very well known, especially in South India. Srinivasa. That is maybe in all of South India, maybe that's the most popular name given to boys even now. In Tamil Nadu, there is Sentil, Shanmugam, the popular names. But still there are many. But if you take all of South India, including Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh, I think this name Srinivas will come up more than any other. And particularly that name is connected, of course you all know this, but with Balaji. Another name for that same Lord at Tirumalai, as it said in Tamil. So Srinivasa. Sri means Lakshmi, and Sri also means all opulence, all qualities. When we say all qualities, well, particularly all opulence in terms of wealth and all beauty. These two qualities, are, apart from her being attached to Narayana, the two qualities that are particularly associated with Lakshmi are opulence, wealth, and beauty. And others are there also, such as fame, but particularly opulence and beauty. So generally throughout the world, people think of God as being powerful. But in Indian culture, he's understood to be very beautiful also. That's as much an opulence as his power, and very happy also. That's why this Christianity, with the idea of having hanging, they say God, Jesus is God, and they show him hanging on a cross. It doesn't fit the Indian understanding of God at all. So you don't see that much. In the West, you'll see so many pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross, but in India, it's not good marketing to show that. What do you want to worship? He can't even protect himself, so how is he going to protect me? And God should be happy. Why all this? The main leela they have is just simply full of suffering. Well, you could say that about Ram Leela also, although of course in Christianity there's no real philosophical understanding about it. They have no idea of leela and all, no idea whatsoever. So anyway, Shri, as Gauriya Vaishnavas, we know this means Radha. So when we say Shri Krishna, that means Radha and Krishna, or Radha's Krishna. When we say Radha Krishna, that means Radhasya Krishna, the Krishna who belongs to Radha. She's got him under control. There's a saying in English, behind every great man is a woman. And because the Western culture is completely materialistic, that's true, because what people do is only for material development. So, but the greatest people we see in Indian history are the sannyasis, actually. So behind them is Radha or Lakshmi. They're also, they know that they're deriving benefit from her. Even Shankara, the guru of the Mayavadis, he's prayed so much to Durga, because he's materialistic conception, nirvisheshavada. So but this saying that behind every great man is a woman, in spiritual existence, well, from the external point of view it might seem true that behind Krishna is Radha, but actually those who are pakka gauriyas, or those who have come to the perfectional stage, they don't think that Krishna is great because of Radha. They think that when... No, wait a minute. The real fact is that Radha... It's not that Radha is just supporting Krishna who's great, but actually Radha is great, and because he has a connection with her, therefore, we can consider him. That's why the Raghunath Das Goswami, we can only say this, we can't understand it or try to emulate it. But Raghunath Das Goswami hints that without the mercy of Radha, he's not even interested in Krishna. So as I said, we can say it, we won't try to imitate it, but we can understand what is the actual glory of Radha. This is transcendental feminism. So actually, Vaishnavas, they are Shaktas, but not mundane Shaktas, worshipping forms of Durga and sacrificing goats, not this kind of thing, but worshipping Lakshmi. And then, of course, if we say this to the local Vaishnavas, they won't be very happy. But if we go a long, 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 long way above the conception of Lakshmi, then we come to Radha. Don't mind. So, literally, Lakshmi resides on Vishnu. He's got the Srivats, this on his chest. He has the place where she resides. According to Leela, Lakshmi appeared from the ocean, the churning of the milk ocean. Therefore, she has the names Sindhuja, Samudraja. She's born from Samudraja. She's born from the ocean. But that, of course, is Leela, because she's the eternal consort of Vishnu. And there was, when she came out, then there was no question of that. There were so many demons, all the demons and demigods were there. But she only went to him. And there's no question of her going anywhere else. All the demons and demigods thinking they're all very great, but she goes to him. She may occasionally favor people in this material world, but in this material world, people, they like to worship her without Narayan, just like in Vellore. There's one temple where there's the deity of Narayani, but no Narayana. So, that is Ravana's policy. That you take Lakshmi, but forget about Rama. Take Sita and forget Rama. So that cannot last. That cannot last. No one can remain wealthy, so-called happy. No. One has to worship Lakshmi with Narayana. And one who worships Lakshmi with Narayana, he becomes so wealthy that he doesn't care for any wealth of this world. If I bring 1,000 rupees to a poor man, he'll be very happy. If you bring 1,000 rupees to some Tata or Ambani, you can't even get close to them to give them 1,000 rupees. If you want to give some politician, some like the chief minister, if you want to personally give them a donation, I would think anything less than 10 lakhs, they wouldn't even, you couldn't personally give it, you couldn't get close to them to give it to them. So, a very rich person or a person who deals in lots of money, they're not interested in small things. If you give them 10 rupees, 20, even the beggars nowadays, they won't take less than 10 rupees. So, in the same way, one who is Radha Dhanadhani, Prema Dhanadhani, one name for Krishna is there, he's wealthy with the wealth of Radha. So one who has got the wealth of Golokera Prema Dhan, which manifests in this world as Harinama Sankirtan, they're not interested in some gold and jewels and money and all these things. They're no personal interest in all these things. What will you do with that? They have something much more valuable. So they may superficially appear to be very poor people or not very motivated people. You become a Vaishnava and then you lose all your motivation to work hard and get money. Yeah, that's right. We don't find any value in that. They have a different kind of wealth. Of course, the Lakshmi belongs to Vishnu. But one in whose heart the name, fame, pastimes, glories, and qualities of Krishna is one who is attracted to that within their heart, then they can't find any attraction to worldly wealth or happiness or any such thing. It just becomes meaningless to them. So Krishna is literally the abode of Sri, Srinivasa. And if we take all the qualities also, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriyaha Jnanavairagyayoshchaiva Shannang Bhaga Itingana, all the qualities which characterize Sri, they're also fully present in him. So he's the abode of all good qualities. There are no imperfections. Because another name, similar name, is Sridhar, he who holds her. So he who holds her very tight, then there's no, any bad quality cannot enter in there. We'll find anyone in this world, they may have some good qualities, but they have bad qualities also. But exclusively good qualities we'll find in Krishna, Radha and Krishna, because the transcendental, the abode of all transcendental qualities. Yeah, so we say Srinivasa. That means they live together. They're inseparable. Just as fire is inseparable from light and heat. Or, that another example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Krishna ek vastu nahi kichu bhed. Then what is that? Lila-ashvadam karikaru kichu bhed. There's no difference. They're the same entity, Radha and Krishna. There's not even slight difference. But little difference is there for the sake of manifesting their pastimes. And then Mrigamada, Jargonda, that example is given, that the musk and its smell, its very strong smell, they're inseparable. So in the same way, Radha Krishna, they're inseparable. So, Hare Krishna, that's all for now, unless there are any questions about this topic. Musk, is that... what's that called in Hindi? Taken from the one kind of deer. What's the word? I can't remember just now. No, that's the name of the deer, is Hiran or Harin. That's in Sanskrit the name of the deer. But musk, Mrigamada, Jargonda, Kasturi. An oil is made from that, yeah. Kasturi. It's also the name of one gopi, Kasturi. It's a common name, is it? Yeah. One prominent gopi is also called Kasturi. So, Hare Krishna. You have a question? Yeah. Sri Sri, yeah. Well, you can say, who does it refer to? Radha or Gokulananda? Why do you say two times? Well, actually, you can say many times. Sri 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 Sri. That's why we say Ashtotarasata Sri, 108 Sris. Or you can say 1008 Sris. Or Ananta Sri. That's also one common name, isn't it? Ananta Sri means unlimited opulence. Just to emphasize the point that this is not just some any old Sri. Just like you can, that name is given, you can call someone Sri Ramesh Gupta, something like that. So this is not just whatever Sri Ramesh Gupta may have in him is a tiny drop and a perverted reflection of the actual Sri. So this. The real Sri is not just any old Sri, but is the real Sri is Radha Krishna. So you can say one time, you can say two times, you can say five times, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, unlimited times. You may just say once, it's all included also. But we say Sri Sri Radha Gokula. You can just also say Sri Radha Gokula. No, you can say Sri Sri. Maybe one for each. Sri Radha Sri Gokula Ananda. Sri Radha Shaha Sri Madan Mohan. Sometimes it's said separately like that. Sri Radha Shaha Sri Govinda Charan. So sometimes you can say, oh yeah, it doesn't, anyway you can say. Srila Prabhupada often used to say Sri Sri. I think we took it from Prabhupada. Otherwise, generally if you see the name of a deity written outside the temple, they'll generally write Sri. Sri Radha Krishna Mandir, something like that. So,
in Tamil, we are having the name for Krishna, Kanna.
Kanna, Kanna. Kanan or Kanna. Yeah, it's a nickname. In North India, they say Kanaya in the Hindi speaking area. In Bengal, it becomes Kanai. In Gujarati, Kanu, is it? Kanu. So in different parts of India, they have their own nicknames for Krishna. They're all kinds. And Radharani is Rai. Balaram is Bala or Balai. Like this. They're nicknames. And so. Yeah, Sri Bhu Nila. If we, the number one Shakti of Narayana is Sri, number two is Bhu, number three Nila. And there are listed 9 Shaktis of resist. Sri Bhu Nila Lila Utkarshani Jnana Yoga Ishana. These are different Shaktis of which they're mentioned in Bhagavatam, these potencies of Narayana. There are 9 principles. They're personified Shaktis. Spiritual happiness, yeah. Radha is specially mentioned as Hladini, but she, all the Shakti, everything is included in her. But the essence of the Shakti is happiness. That's the main, just like I was saying, most people have the main idea of God that he's powerful. But in Vaishnavism, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the main attribute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he's happy. Anandamayo bhasat. The definition of the Supreme is full of bliss. And of course he's anandamay, jnanamay, viryavan, all these different things. But ananda, that's the main thing. Happy. Happiness. Keshagra Shata Bhagasya. Yeah. The Atma is immeasurable. Yeah. But you can measure. 1/10,000th sign the tip of a hair. That is 1/10,000th time the tip of a hair. That's indicative that it's very small, and that it becomes very small. But Atma in his pure state is unlimited. Now, Krishna is unlimited as Paramatma, but even in quality, the Atma, even the Jivatma, becomes unlimited because there's no limit to how much bliss he can have. So even this 1/10,000 time, the tip of a hair, I think nowadays the scientists, you get into their angstroms and all this kind of thing, they probably can measure something smaller than that. It's indicative that it's something. The idea is that it's not visible in by the human eye, and also that his original position has become very constricted. Keshagra shatabhagasya shatata kalpitas cha. Jiva sukshmo savigyaya. What's the last line? There are two verses which are very similar. Balasya shatabhaga keshagra shatabhagasya. Bhago jiva savigyaya. We all have. Yeah. So, what is that? The word comes in there, kalpitasya. It's conceived of as such. It's not measured as such. It's conceived of as such. He was about to leave. Bhishma recited this Vishnu Sahasranam. We talk of it as Bhishma Stuti. Well, yeah, Bhishma recited Vishnu Sahasranama. He was a devotee that was his relationship with Krishna. Bhishma also knows of the gopis. In the Bhagavatam, we'll find him praising the gopis. But he saw Krishna as Narayana. He prayed like that. May that four-handed form of the Lord appear before me when I leave this world. So, we have no argument with that. Even if the Sri Vaishnavas want to say that Vishnu is supreme, we say, okay. Then Krishna is the eighth avatar of Vishnu. Okay. All right. We have no objection. You want to say that? We have no objection. But that's from tattva vichar. If you want to see the supreme, powerful, then Vishnu, he manifests like that. Krishna doesn't manifest as that. But if we that Krishna is akhila rasamrita murti, that's the first words of bhakti rasamrita sindhu, that our perspective of Krishna is as the emporium of all transcendental rasa. So from the point of view of power, majesty, opulence, yeah, Vishnu is supreme, fine, no problem. But we're interested in one little cowherd boy. So if you're interested in opulence, power and all that, then okay. But personally, we're interested in one little cowherd boy. That's all. And if you really want to get into arguing, that little cowherd boy is a lot more powerful than any ordinary cowherd boy. The arguments may go back and forth. When Brahma stole all the cows and cowherd boys, then Krishna manifested them, and then Brahma saw them all as Vishnu forms. So, the arguments may go back and forth. We have no... Anyway, we don't mind to discuss these things, but not in a spirit of enmity. I wanted to give a lecture sometime in Kanchi or someplace about this, Krishna and Vishnu. It'd be good to do it in Tamil, but I don't think that'll be in this lifetime. Whoops, I just made myself a ticket for coming back. What was the reason for? Oh, now we're getting into so many complex things. Oh, that becomes a long story. Why the six children of Devaki, they were killed. It's a long story. What was that? The sons of Brahma laughed at him, then they... Oh, it's quite complex. Then he cursed them, they became sons of Hiranyakashipu. Then when they became sons of Hiranyakashipu, they worshipped Brahma. Hiranyakashipu cursed them and they became sons of Kalanemi. And he cursed them and they became the sons of Devaki. And then they were killed. Then they were killed and they all went back to their original position. So killing them was good. Because they're just like the Ganga, she threw all her children. Same thing. They as soon as they die, they go back to their original position. That's all. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.